Praise the Lord, everybody. Man, it's so good to see everybody here tonight on a Wednesday night. Amen. I just want to start off tonight with a scripture that came to my mind, amen, as I was pulling into the parking lot tonight. Psalms 133:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is that we could dwell together in unity." That means that no matter what we face today, amen, everything that we've went through all through the week, amen, everything that we've been through, our troubles, that here we are on a Wednesday night, that we've come, we've decided to be together in one mind and one accord to lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a Wednesday night. And I'm so thankful. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful tonight to be here. Really quick, I want to roll through our announcements. They're probably going to be on the board. I'm just going to roll through them really quick. Let's not forget about our church app. Remember to update your profile. If you've already downloaded the My Church app, thank you. Just please, if you have any trouble, be sure to see someone. If you have any kind of issue downloading it, get with somebody and they can point you in the right direction to get that sorted out. Friday, April 10th at 7 a.m. To 10 a.m. in the coffee room, we're going to have our community give back to the law enforcement. We're going to be serving all law enforcement. There'll be free coffee and pastry here, so be prepared for that. Saturday, April 11th, 8 to 10 at the Family Life Center. There's going to be the men's breakfast, so don't forget about that. Thursday and Friday, April 16th and 17th, the Ladies Joy Conference. Amen. Sign-up sheets for the events listed above are going to be in the foyer, so if you need to get signed up for that, those are going to be there. Sunday, April 19th, we'll have a special PM service, the Saints Speak, so praise the Lord, they'll be here. Upcoming wedding, we've got Marlene Coronado and Josh Clark. That wedding date is April the 12th. There is a table out in the foyer with card boxes if you'd like to leave those a little something. Amen. I'm sure they would appreciate that. Monday, April 20th through the 22nd, 6:30 to 7:30 in the Blast Kids area. The Kids Crusade with Brother Kevin Merriman, the ages 4 to 14. Amen. Let's not forget about that. Praise the Lord. Who is ready to have church tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got all the announcements out of the way now. We can just open up our heart. Amen. Let's just let the Lord have his way tonight.
In your presence, in your
Amen. No other place I would rather be than right here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, I'd like to go ahead and get our ushers to come forth. And while they're coming, amen, let's not forget about our prayer request. Amen. Everybody that's on the list, amen, look around you. Those that are not here, amen. Those that are sick in body tonight, amen. Pray the Lord would touch those and bring them safely back to his house. Praise the Lord. So we're going to take these knees before the Lord tonight. Amen. If you have an unspoken request, just make that known by the lifting of the hand. And let's take these knees to the Lord tonight. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house once again. I ask you, Lord, that you would just begin to look across this place tonight, Lord. You see every hand lifted. Lord, you know every heart, God. You know every need, Lord, every request, God. I pray, Lord, that you would touch each and every need, God. I pray your healing virtues would just begin to flow, God. I pray, Lord, for this service tonight. Keep your hand upon it, Lord. Have your way. I pray for this offering tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you would bless it tonight, God. Bless those that have to give, Lord, and those that have not the same, Lord. We ask you all of this in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Bless you tonight as you give.
Chains calling. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for coming to midweek service. And our prayer is always that you leave blessed, encouraged, and that something would be said to prayerfully speak to your heart and encourage you tonight. I want to start this lesson tonight, this message off, by giving a brief definition on the role of a pastor. A shepherd's job or a pastor's job is not just to feed the sheep, but it is to maintain the sheepfold in order to keep the wolves out. A pastor is a shepherd called by God to feed the flock. 1 Peter 5 and 2, the Lord speaks and says that we should feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. A pastor's job is to not only feed, but to also lead. 1 Timothy 3, if you get a chance, you can read it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. His job is to provide oversight and direction. A pastor's job is not only to feed and to lead, but his job is also to protect. His job is to watch for danger and to watch for false teaching. The pastor's job is also to equip. Paul spoke to the Ephesians in Ephesus and said that the pastor's job was to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. A pastor's job is also to build spiritual boundaries that guard the flock. If you read in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul speaks about the role of a bishop, and he lets us know that he is one who must be holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. In Acts chapter 20, the Bible says in verses 28 through 29, the Lord is speaking here to these men saying, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Verse 29 says, the Lord is speaking, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, the Lord is speaking, saying, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Meaning, God looks for someone to repair what's broken and to guard his people. A pastor even preaches the truth when it's not cool. A pastor's job is to preach the word even when it's not popular. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he tells Timothy that he should preach the word even when people don't want to hear it. He said in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season, out of season." He said you should convince people if need be, rebuke people if need be, exhort people with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. He said, but Timothy, you should be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In Isaiah chapter 62, verses 6 through 7, it tells us about the watchman. It's speaking to Jerusalem, but the principle applies to a pastor. It says, the Lord is speaking, saying, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention, speaking of the watchman, you who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, I didn't know what that all meant there, so of course I went to Brother Google, and it lets you know that in these two verses, the remembrances, when it talks about the remembrances in Isaiah 62 and 6, he said, ye that make mention of the Lord, or you who call on the Lord, is a Hebrew word that I can't pronounce, but it literally means those who calls to remember, or remembrances. In a royal court, a remembrancer was an official who brought petitions and promises to the king's attention so he would act on them. In other words, the watchmen are tasked, or were tasked, and are tasked today with reminding God of his covenant promises to restore, in those days, Jerusalem. He said the watchman was to never hold their peace. This verse says these watchmen shall never hold their peace day or night. Unlike a military guard who only shouts when an enemy appears, these guards, these watchmen that is speaking of here in Isaiah, they are to be vocal at all times. Most commentators interpret this continual speaking as an unceasing intercessory prayer for God's people. Isaiah said, you are to give him no rest. In Isaiah 62 and 7, the instruction was to give him, to give God no rest. It's probably one of the most boldest descriptions of prayer in the Bible. It parallels Jesus' parable of that persistent widow who kept bothering that judge until she got justice. It depicts a wrestling with God in prayer like Jacob until the promised blessing arrives. Here in Isaiah 62, the watchman, he or she builds a wall of prayer by calling God into a situation. A pastor's job is to build a wall of prayer and to intercede to God on behalf of the people. In Ezekiel, God gives a strong warning to his man, and he tells him in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, he says, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. The Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, listen to me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, or shall die in his sin. But his blood, Ezekiel, I'm going to require at your hand. Yet he said, if you will warn, in other words, if you'll be a watchman, if you'll preach what I tell you to preach, if you'll teach what I tell you to teach, and if he still does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he said, he shall die still in his sin, but you have delivered your soul. In Ezekiel 3, the watchman, he builds a wall of warning by calling people back to repentance. A pastor, he builds and he petitions God. He asks the Lord to please, God, intercede on behalf of your people and to have mercy on your people. But then he must stand in a pulpit. He must stand in whatever classroom setting he's in, and he must preach the word of the Lord unashamedly, unapologetically, and he must deliver what thus saith the Lord to the body. Anyone who refuses to deliver what thus says the Lord is nothing more than a hireling, and he is in danger of the flock being scattered by an adversary. We need truth preached every day in the pulpit. I was driving here just this week through Paris, and as I was driving, I looked to my right, and I saw a deep ditch down at the bottom of this slope that would most likely, as I was driving and thinking about that deep ditch, it would most likely mean sure death if a person were to get distracted from the road and drive off into the ditch. But I noticed that if you were to go off the road and if you were to head towards the ditch before your vehicle slammed into that death trap, there was a guardrail that had been placed on the side of the road down a little ways into that ravine. There was a guardrail there that while it may have caused bumps and bruises on you, if you were to go off the road, it would most likely save your life. And I got a simple message tonight. It's a little different for Wednesday night, but just hear me out. I want to preach to us tonight on thank God for strong fences. Thank God for strong fences. Before we go any further, I want to tell you that there is a difference between legalism and biblical boundaries. In my studies, legalism is trusting rules to save you. That's not God's will. We don't trust in legalism. But biblical boundaries are obeying God because you're already saved. Strong fences keep you from going into the ditch. But a weak, thrown together fence, it may appear strong to the eye, but if it's tested by cattle or some other strong animal, the fence is going to be pushed down. The writer of Proverbs 24:10 says, If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That simply means, from my studies, that if the strength of the fence, if it's not built well, it will not stand when pressure hits. A weak structure collapses when it is tested. Can I tell this great church on a Wednesday night, and you're all mature believers, so you can handle strong meat tonight, that we do not need thrown together church services where all we get is a Pentecostal high, but we need services where a fence is being built, where a fence is being reinforced. So when carnality tries to distract you to go off the road, and when you find yourself just going through life not paying attention to your spiritual surroundings, and if you head off that road, you'll run headlong into a strong fence. That's why the Bible says the wise man has built his house on the rock. Every time, God help me tonight, every time you've questioned why in the world would somebody preach about that, why would somebody set a fence right here, you hear this preacher tonight, that fence was not not set there to be some type of restriction on you, but it was set there by somebody who spent hours in prayer asking the Lord, help me, God, build a fence to keep people safe from the adversary. Help me, God, build a fence to help people stay secure. A thrown together structure, it ain't gonna survive storms, but a strong foundation, a strong fence, it's gonna stand. Not only does the fence help keep you in, but we need strong fences so the adversary cannot weasel himself into our backyard. First Peter tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, as a roaring lion, he's walking about looking for fences that may look the part, but they're weak when they're pushed on. Looking for fences that may even feel Jesus, but the first sign of trouble and it pushes them over. He's looking for people that he can devour. You need a strong fence because something is actively trying to break into your life tonight. In the Word of God, fences and hedges, they represent protection. They represent divine boundaries. They represent self-control. They serve both, again, to keep valuable things like your peace inside, and they serve to keep dangerous influences out of your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8 says, whoso breaketh a hedge, whoever breaks the fence down, the Bible says, a serpent shall bite him. He said, if the fence gets broken down, if the fence gets ignored, danger is on the way to that house. God, help me tonight. Hear me, someone. This ain't my notes, but I feel it right now. If you begin to compromise your convictions, if you begin to let go of what God gave you years and years ago, and all of a sudden in your later years, you may say things like, well, it's just not important anymore. It doesn't have any bearing. I'm telling you, beware. There's a serpent behind the fence. There's a snake behind the fence trying his best to weasel himself. I'm not looking for any kind of watered down Christianity. I want the bedrock apostolic Bible truth. I'm telling you right now, we've got to get back to the book and stop trying to keep up with the latest fad. They can all go to you know where. I'm trying to get to a new Jerusalem. We've got to build strong fences today. So many people just want to break down the fences and ask questions later. So many people want to trample down fences and talk about later why they did it. I thank God tonight for the fence of sound doctrine. I thank God for the fence we call truth. I thank God in Proverbs, the Lord spoke and said, Brad Davis, you better buy the truth and you better sell it not. It's not monetary value he's speaking of, but he's telling you, once you get baptized brains, once you see the truth, don't you compromise it. Don't you let go of truth. You keep on preaching, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. You keep on preaching, a man or a woman, they must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You preach and tell them, you've got to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift. I thank God for sound doctrine. I already read it. In Titus 1, he told the bishop, the pastor, he said, you make sure you teach that sound doctrine. You make sure you exhort it. And he also went a step further and said, you convince them. You convince them it's right. But oh God, cause flesh don't like being convinced. Flesh wants to do what it wants to do. Flesh doesn't want a fence, because when you get carnal, when you get lax, when you get lazy in spirit, when you stop praying, when you stop coming to church like you should, when you don't see the house of God as priority, when somebody starts preaching on fences in your life, all of a sudden you want to buck up and rise up and say, he's trying to be an evil dictator. He's trying to be some. No, he's not trying to be a ruler. It's the Lord trying to build a fence in your life and tell you you're headed for a ditch. If you don't get the, God have mercy, if you don't get the fence built, there is destruction ahead. I'm gonna read it again. Timothy, everyone said preach the word. Everyone said be instant. Everyone said reprove. Everybody said rebuke. Everyone said exhort. And everyone said long suffering. That means you preach it until they're ready to throw up. I've heard people say stupid stuff like, I wish he'd stop preaching that. Had a pastor a while back, he called me and said, my God, he said, I got folks, they mad because I preach the same thing. And they said, man, or I'm somebody back up. No, I'm lying. A saint called me some time ago, not in this church. It's for all of you who try to get discernment of spirits, not in this house. And tried letting me know that this pastor was, he was trying to preach and he was trying to say things too much and he was trying to harp on these things. I want to say, well, the problem probably is the Lord's trying to build something right there and your stinking flesh don't like it. Your carnal man don't like it when someone steps on top of you and tells you you're living in sin. You're in a wrong place. You're having wrong thoughts. You're going a direction that's not right. And if you don't turn around, I'd rather you crucify me than hear you burn in hell. We've got to have a church that knows the value of building strong fences. The time will come, Timothy. They ain't gonna like sound doctrine. I ain't got time. I've taught a lesson some years ago, if I remember correctly, on doctrine. But you hear me. Doctrine is vital for your soul. There's coming a day they won't endure sound doctrine. There's coming a day where they'll hate the fence of sound doctrine. They'll despise the fence because the fence keeps them out from where they want to go. Maybe I've told you the story with a J.J. Bourne, pastor many years in Houston, prophet of God, great man of God. And years ago he was pastoring. And in those days, I guess the cars, it's been a long time ago, some of you are older than me, and his daughter somehow got behind the wheel. And she put the car in drive. And he said, when I turned around, I saw the car rolling. And it was headed for a lipo. And he said, my baby girl saw me out the window and she waved. And she said these words, look, Daddy, I'm driving. And the problem with that today is there's people on our pews who are passing by the preacher and saying, I feel it tonight. And I feel bold in my spirit, so hear me out. There's people passing by the church saying, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a preacher. I can be my own God. I'm telling you, you need a pastor in your life. You need a preacher. And I need a preacher. I've got a pastor in my life that can tell me, Brad Davis, you're out of line. Why? Because I need somebody to tell me, you're letting go of the fence. You're breaking down the fence. I don't want to tell God I'm driving. I say, Jesus, just go ahead and take the wheel. Help me, God, to build a fence. Help me, God, to stay behind the fence. Paul said, Timothy, there's going to be people, though, they ain't going to like what you say. They're going to say you're too hard, you're too crude, you're too rude. He said, and because of that, they're going to leave you. And they'll find somebody to give them what they want. He said, they'll turn away their ears from the truth. And they'll be turned unto fables. Paul told Timothy, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. He said, if you'll do this, you'll save both yourself those that hear you. I thank God for the fence of sound doctrine. I thank God for the truth that we have been blessed with in this church. I was standing here a while back, and maybe it was the Lord, maybe it was just me, I don't know. But I literally felt the spirit, if you will, of elder pastors who had pastored this church, and I could almost feel the responsibility. Keep on preaching. Don't stop preaching. Lead them strong. Let them know there is a heaven. Let them know there is a hell. Let them know it's really real. Let them know this life could end in the next 30 seconds. So preach, 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 preach the truth. Even if they don't like it, preach the truth. Thank God for the fence of watchfulness. Thank God for the fence of protection. We said it a while ago. The scripture in Acts told us, take heed to yourselves and all the flock. He said, I know this, Paul said after, or Luke said after my, Jesus said, sorry, after my departing, grievous wolves, they're going to enter among you, not sparing the flock, meaning they'll have no mercy. Their job is to scatter, not to pull together. Anybody that scatters is a wolf. Anybody who scatters in the name of trying to love and trying to help, he or she is not trying to help. They are a wolf. And the Lord sent preachers. He sent pastors to preach and to tell the body, you better make sure you have your ear attuned to the right voice. Make sure your ear is not plugged in to people who have weak fences and they've compromised everything but right. Make sure your ear is attuned to the book. This book is the only thing that matters. We've got to have strong fences like never before in 2026. Ezekiel said, if the watchman sees the sword come, if he sees it come, if he blows not the trumpet, his blood, the Lord said, will I require at the watchman's hand. Everyone said, we need strong fences. We need strong fences of godly living. Amen. We need strong fences of holiness. Some have got turned off by that word holiness, but if you don't like the word holiness, you better not open the book, because from front to back, he's a holy God. He's a holy Savior. Hello? He's holy. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. If you don't like holy, you won't like it up there. Hello. Peter's 1 Peter 1 says, verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Everyone said, all manner of conversation. We need the strong fence to arrest us again of holy conversation. Where if it doesn't lift up, if it doesn't build up, if it doesn't edify my brother and my sister, if it doesn't edify the body of Christ, it's not holy. I may preach on standards another night, but you hear what I'm telling you right now. Holiness unto the Lord in your conversation, it matters just as much as what you wear every day. Your conversation is vital to the Lord. What you say, how you say it, the spirit in which you talk, it matters to the Lord. I need a strong fence of holy conversation. I need it in the lunchroom. I need it at Starbucks. I need it at my dinner table. I need it outside this church. I need it inside this church. I need it in that foyer, every Sunday school room, every leadership meeting. We need holy conversation. It's not somebody pitting each other against each other. No, we need holy conversation to fall on the apostolic church again. I thank God for a strong fence called holy conversation. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Now that can be debated, argued. What is the unclean thing? Well, I'll just give you Brad's little definition. The unclean thing is anything that separates you from the Lord. I don't care how okay it is. I don't care how right it feels. If it separates you from the Lord, it's unclean. Now, hear me, I'm bold tonight, and maybe I haven't ever preached like this, and you'll think pastor's lost his mind, but just hear me out. I'm telling you right now, it is the will of the Lord. I'm telling y'all, I don't mind preaching on Sunday, but it was a Wednesday night message for some reason, that it is the will of the Lord for this house to be filled on Wednesday nights. If we're not, hear me, you hear me out. I'm going to just step out and say what I feel tonight, or maybe it's half anger, maybe it's half anointing, I don't know. But we've got to make sure we come out from among them and stop saying, well, I just don't feel it and I got too much to do. No, I said it last week, I'll say it again. You'll go to Woodall and watch them on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but for whatever reason, we can't come in here on Wednesday. We got to get our priorities right again. Let me just say something here. Now, this is a little strong, I know, but let me just be me. Is that all right? I'm not some hard dude, I promise. Years ago, Lord dealt with, I talked to the Lord. Now, I'm a little weird. And I asked God about sports. I did. Prayed about it. I said, Lord, I want to know your heart. I don't want to do anything stupid. I want to make sure what you think about this stuff. Are you okay with stuff like this, Lord? The Lord dealt with me. Told me three things in this order. He said, you teach and you preach. Priorities, convictions, and witness. He said, if they, back up, convictions, priorities, and witness. In that order. He said, if you're convicted against it, you best not go. That principle applies to anything. If you're convicted against something, if the Lord has convicted you, you shouldn't go there. I knew years ago an evangelist, great man of God, preached for us many times. One Sunday night after church, Brother Lee, I said, hey, let's go to Chili's. He said, I can't go there. He said, they serve alcohol. I thought, my God, man, ain't nothing wrong going to Chili's. But then he told me his story. He said, I was an alcoholic for many years, man. He said, I can't even be around the smell of that stuff. He built a fence. Hello? And when you come out from among them and you're trying to be separate from the world, the Lord told me, he said, Brad, if they're convicted against it, don't you judge their conviction. If there's something they don't feel right about going there, leave them alone. And if you go and the Lord is convicting you, you best not go. But if you're not convicted, the Lord, I can tell you where I was standing, 505 Utah Street in Days Out of Texas, outside the old church. The Lord said, but if you're not convicted and you go, he said, and if you start going and your priorities get out of line and you start missing church over the garbage and you start doing all this stuff because this ball is more important than me, and all of a sudden you go to ball games and you'll miss 5 or 7 services a year, your priorities are out of line, you better cut it out. And the Lord spoke to me a third time and said, if you're not convicted, if your priorities are okay, but if you go and you ruin your witness,
you best pack up your bags and get out, because more important than you screaming at some umpire, more important than you losing your mind over some fan, is someone seeing there is a God on the inside of me, and I've got to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And if it's unclean to you, don't touch the mess.
I know it's different. I know. I get all that. Paul said, present your bodies as a, remember this? Remember this position the other day? When you pass by somebody in a casket and they doing this, that means they dead. Right? But I've seen folks come to church in this position. And their favorite verse is, none of these things move me. And they think it's performance. Hello. They think it's all about singing my right song and I'll get moved. No. Paul said, present your bodies a living. It's your reasonable service. That simply means, my good brother, it's the least you can do. Well, I gave God 30 minutes. Who cares? He gave his blood on Calvary. And you're trying to tell God what? No. I present my body. I'll dance. I'll run. I'll shout. I present my body a living. So what am I doing? I'm trying to get my flesh to know there is a fence I'm trying to build. And the fence says I cannot cross over into things that rob me of my time with the Lord. Come on, church. Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need the fence of godly living. Hello. I ain't going here tonight because I don't feel it. But you hear me. What I wear, how I act, how I dress, modesty matters to God. Ah, God. See, I feel this. Oh, God. He's preaching on fences. It matters to God. You're not trying to please the preacher. Every fence I ever try to build in this church, I promise you, it will not be out of a UPCI manual. I was having lunch with someone yesterday. We talked about this. I'm trying to build it off. Hello. Not peer pressure. Well, your good friend says, I don't care what he says. If the Word says it, we're going to do our best to live it. And if the Holy Ghost leads, we're going to do our best by principle of the Word of God to follow suit. What are you doing? It's godly living. Anybody interested in going to heaven? I just pray you don't come back on Wednesday. I just pray you don't come back on Sunday night. We're going to be in a bind. Well, that's mean. It's not mean. I'm telling you, the Lord is trying to awaken the body and tell you it is vital that you get you, I get my ignorant carcass to the house of God whenever the doors are open. I'm trying to build a fence around my life that says there's nothing in this world that's more important than the house of God. Thank God for strong fences. Thank God for the fence of order and the fence of accountability. Hebrews 13:17 has been misinterpreted, misapplied. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves
for they watch for your souls. There's been people who tried to use that verse. David Koresh is of the world. Jim Jones is of the world. They've tried using this stuff to somehow magnify themselves above the people. The Bible said that a pastor, a minister, he's not to be a lord over God's heritage. He's not to be a man or a woman who comes down with an iron fist of it's my way or the high. No, that's not my job. But my job is to preach the word, even if it stings, even if it ticks me off. Anybody ever left church mad at the preacher? No one wants to raise their hand. Anybody ever left the church thinking, my God, why do you have to preach on that? Some of you lying and going to hell. Or maybe this is the real church of God here tonight. I don't know. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's been times when I've been in a pew and a preacher read his text and it got all over me. And from the text, I felt conviction. I never forget 2 or 3 years ago, Jason Calhoun preaching camp meeting in Texas District. He didn't start more than 10 minutes, and I felt that old-time holy conviction just grip a hold of me. Hello? We don't like stuff like that. We don't like the old days. My old grandparents used to say that men would grab the back of pews until their knuckles got white because the Holy Ghost was moving so strong in a church. That sounds old-fashioned. That sounds crazy. That don't sound right to us. But may I take you to Acts chapter 5 when the Bible says Ananias and Sapphira, they came to the Lord and they lied to the Holy Ghost about what they were doing. And the Bible says when God got done killing them, there was great conviction that fell all over the city. Why? Because somebody was trying to build a strong fence and the devil tried getting in. I'm telling you, the devil has no place in this house. We've got to have strong fences here. Obey them that have rule over you. Again, that does not mean you submit to me because I'm some guy up here in the pulpit who preaches 2 hours a week. That's not what it means, folks. When you obey and you rule, it is a willing submission. Not to me, but to his word. Hello? I submit to his word. I get in line with his word. And if the pastor is the one who is my pastor, I try my best to live according to the word he preaches. To the word he teaches. If it's biblical, if it's not biblical, run out of this place. I give you permission. If I preach anything in the word that's not in the word, get out of here. Paul said, isn't it fitting? This verse comes up next. Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Paul told Timothy, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. We need the strong fence of order and accountability like never before in 2026. We live in a lawless society. It's as old as the Bible. People are doing what's right in their own eyes. But it doesn't make it right for me. Hello? I'm not to follow what I want to do. My flesh doesn't get to rule over me. I need order in my life. I need the fence of accountability. This is where it gets to get a little hurt right here. I need the fence where if somebody in the body sees me going toward a ditch, well, I know you don't like it, but I promise you, if they save you from destruction, you'll thank God for accountability. We need a church full of fences that are people who hold one another accountable and say, I ain't been seeing you in the prayer room. I've been missing you at church lately. We need some strong fences to get back in the United Pentecostal Church of Paris like never before. We need the strong fence of unity. Hello? I said we need the strong fence of unity. Paul said we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10 that all of you, that you all speak the same thing. He said, there should be no divisions among you. The psalmist said, how good, how pleasant it is that brethren dwell together in unity. We need a strong fence of unity. Let me just say this. I don't want to say something crazy right here, but if you ain't shook their hand and hugged their neck in the last 6 months, you need to fix that tonight. When I was in Days Adam, my great uncle, it was a strange word. It always caught me off guard when he said it. And this is a strange word, but I'm a strange phrase that I'm going to tell you. He'd say at the end of the service, what we need right now is a good love feast. And what he meant by that, everybody hug everybody except men and women, okay? All right? Men to men, lady to lady, hug everybody. I know what he's trying to do now. He's trying to create unity in the body. He was trying to build a fence even stronger. He was trying to reinforce, we need love in this church. Paul told us you can have all these great gifts, all these great things, but if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. You're a tinkling cymbal. You're a sounding brass. You're nobody. We need the strong fence of unity. And if your brother and sister is not here tonight who you got mad at 9 months ago, I encourage you Sunday morning, make a beeline. They may run from you, but chase them down and say, I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. We're on the same team. I'm telling you, folks, when you get to heaven, it won't be divided by who you like and who you don't like. When you get to heaven, it's going to be all of us surrounding the Lamb of God, praising him for all of eternity. We need a strong fence. I'm bringing it down. We need strong fences. I don't have time to preach all this, but we need strong fences against pride. Pride goes before destruction. Pride is not just you being some aloof person and your nose. No, pride can look like anything. I've seen people get prideful in some of the dumbest things. Hello? And the Bible says that pride goes before destruction. James said God resists the proud. Peter said be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. The statement I read said humility keeps the soul protected. Pride tears down the fence. We need strong fences against lust. Not just lust for the opposite sex, but lust against anything that gets my eyes off of him. Hello? But I'll deal, since we're a mature crowd tonight, all right? I know it's way different tonight, but I'll deal with a strong fence. Whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. We need strong fences. Hello? David said, I won't do it. I will not. We use this verse for years for TV, but it's a whole lot bigger than TV. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes.
Right.
That's pornography.
Right. Yep.
That's ungodly lust. That's ungodly movies. Anything. I don't care if you say, well, I can handle it. It doesn't affect me. You're a liar. After a while, you're opening a door, I'm telling you, and those things will come out of you. I'm telling you, if you, God help me tonight, if you're watching stuff and it's nothing but a bunch of sensual, ungodly scenes of people doing all kinds of ungodly acts, that the Bible says those kind of people will not inherit the kingdom of God, cut that mess off. We've got to get delivered from that spirit, from that garment that's trying its best to wrap itself around the body. Paul told Timothy, flee also youthful lust, but follow, pursue righteousness. Purity is a fence, and lust tears it down. If I lust after whatever I can't have in this life, again, it's bigger, folks, than just bodies. You can lust after anything. And the Lord said, you better make sure your eyes are guarded. You better make sure you set your affections on things above. We need strong fences against hate. John said, whoever hates his brother, this is crazy. I ain't got time to preach this. Whoever hates his brother, anyone know what the next part of that verse says? What? Say it louder for those here and those in Blossom. Hates his brother, whoever hates his sister, he said, you might as well took a 45. God help us tonight. Leviticus says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Jesus said something that makes me not mad, but confuses my flesh. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Love is a fence that keeps hate from destroying you. We need strong fences against anger. The Bible says, be ye angry. I've been angry many times, but he said, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He said, don't give place to the devil. We need a fence. Now, I'm hurrying to a close. We need a fence against the tongue, our words, our speech. We already talked about this in holy conversation. We need a fence, again, of what you watch, what your eyes take in. Let me just end with this. I can teach... I can preach and build biblical fences, but this is where we all get to be together tonight, okay? But we as saints have got to come alongside and help build the fence. As a pastor, I can cast a vision. I can set the standard, if you will. I can build the biblical strong fence, but the fence is only as strong as the saints. Because the saints have got to come alongside together and help build the fence. There's a biblical scripture for this, and it'll help us close this out tonight. Nehemiah gets word that the walls are broken down in Jerusalem. He comes back when he hears it's been destroyed. And now in the time of Nehemiah's day, you know this if you study old history, walls, fences were everything. Ancient cities were enclosed by walls. A city that was without walls was completely vulnerable. The wall wasn't just about decoration. It meant everything. It meant protection from enemies, safety for families, identity as a people. Hello. I ain't got time to preach tonight, but I could preach for a long time. The wall was stability and survival. Nehemiah comes back. All this stuff's in his spirit. And I'm going to end with this chapter. You ready, Brother Darren? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 13. He said, by night, Nehemiah said, I went out through the valley gate, jackal well, the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been, everyone said, broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. He said, then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials, they didn't know where I had gone or what I was doing because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles. He's just being a pastor right now. Okay? He's just doing inspections. He's just seeing what's going on. Verse 17. Then I said to them, to the people, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come. Everyone said, let up. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. I tonight appeal to you as a body, as a church, that as the Lord sets fences in motion, as the Lord tries to establish strong fences, I implore you tonight, come alongside and let's build fences together. Let's make up in our minds tonight that we can do this thing called revival. But before we do this thing called revival, there's got to be an apostolic Holy Ghost foundation that is rooted and grounded in the word of the Lord. The Bible says a man that doesn't have self-control, he's like a city that has broken down walls. I don't want broken walls in Paris. When the devil passes by this church, it's got to be a fortified fort, and the saints of God are behind the walls saying, preach on, preacher, teach on, preacher. We've got to have strong fences in this house. Let's all stand. I end with this. Anybody that's been in a car crash that could have been catastrophic, but they hit a bridge or they hit a guardrail, they hit a fence before they went over the edge. Anybody who's ever done that, when they got out of the hospital, they did not go to the DOT. I want to talk to the engineer who built that guardrail. I want to talk to the guy who built that wall and walk into his office and say, why didn't you just let me go over and die? I've never seen anybody who was spared by a wall from going overboard go and cuss somebody out because they didn't let them die. No, they thanked God. There was something standing between them and death. Hear me, I'm not here to lift me up. I'm nobody. But I thank God every time a preacher gets in a pulpit and says, you best heed what the Lord is trying to say. Why? Because God is trying to make sure we have strong fences on both sides. And for anybody, pray to God you're not here tonight, but for anybody who would say fences don't matter, ask the devil. Ask the devil if, how about you ask God? What did God say to the devil? Have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, I know all about those fences. You put a hedge around that boy and his kids and his finances and his livelihood and his health. I couldn't get to him if I wanted to get to him. Why? Because Job was a righteous man. Job was a man who knew what it was to be surrounded by the guard of the Lord. Job knew what it was to be surrounded by a strong fence. And that's why the devil is after our fences. God, I feel a move here. Because the devil knows if they'll just cut down the fence here, I'm going to snatch in. I'm going to get their kids. Come on. Come on. Get out of the fence. And mom and dad's wondering what happened to my kids. I'm going to tell you what happened, mom and dad. You cut the fence too early. There's a fence somewhere right now in this church that somebody has let go of some things. And the Lord wants you, thank you guys, and the Lord wants you to re-solidify the fence and tell you, your babies depend on you having strong fences. Your babies depend on you. There's pleasures of sin for a season, yeah, but in the end it's destruction. Even the angels protect us like fences. They're a guard around us. Psalm 91 said that God commands his angels to stand guard around you, preventing you from striking your foot. Anyone know, and I gotta hush, anybody know why the Lord prevents the enemy from striking your foot? Anybody won't guess? Because if he can trip you up, hello, if he can trip you up on what you believe, on what you think is right, before you know it, you're on the side of the road. And he's on top of you, pummeling you. And the Lord said, I'm going to put angels around you that keep the devil from even striking at your foot. I'm going to put angels around you that guard you day and night. I want the protection of the angelic world. I want the protection of a holy God. I want the protection of my wife's prayers. Good God. I'll hush with this. And this is going to sound weird. Oh, God. But you and your spouse, you can believe it or not, I really don't care. You are fences around one another. Are you hearing me? If your spouse don't pray, pray to God and fast till they start praying again. Hello. I won't tell the story, but I can tell you of a night where I woke up one night, and all I can tell you was the spirit of fear was up in my house, jumped on top of the preacher, and did the cha-cha all over top of my chest. I ain't lying. I never been more afraid in my life. I still, you can tell you, I ain't lying. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. I was still on the front couch on the couch. I shook uncontrollably. And this is what she told me. I'm going to pray. I'll be right back. I thought, my God, go ahead. I ain't lying, man. She went to the bathroom that 4 in the morning. My mom and dad were there. I thought, God, she went mom and dad up. And she went into holy war. And she came back out. She was half asleep and tired. She came back out and said, it wasn't the Lord. God said, you're okay. I'm going back to bed. Thank God for a strong fence. Thank God for a spouse who knows how to pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray, God have mercy. We need daddies. We need mamas. We need husbands and wives to pray over one another. Pray a fence around your family. Pray a fence around his mind. Pray a fence. Let's all praise the Lord together right now. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Come on, somebody. There's the move of the Holy Ghost in this house. I know it's different for a Wednesday night. The Lord's trying to call people back. Call people back to build strong fences again. Call people back to build strong fences. Come on, somebody. Help me pray right now. Oh, God. I think it'd be good for relief. Just step out in the aisle. Wherever you are, take your wife by the hand. If they're not here, just step out in the aisle. Let's pray right now. God, help us to build fences. Help us. Help us, God. Come on, church. Lord's trying to move right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Help us, God, to build a fence. Come on, somebody. Help me pray right now. Help me pray right now. Thank God for strong fences. Thank God for strong fences. Come on, somebody. These altars are open right now. We can pray 5 minutes tonight. Come on, you can take 5 minutes off Andy Griffith. Let's pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Let's build some strong fences right now. In the name of Jesus. Woo! In the name of Jesus, 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 help us, oh God, to build. Help us, oh God, to build. Come on, church. Come on, 2 more minutes. Let's cry out to the Lord. Woo! God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you tonight. God, I need you tonight. God, we need you tonight. God, we need you tonight. God, we need you tonight, Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Clap your hands to the Lord tonight. God, we love you. God, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, God. I encourage you, don't scoff at the fence. Don't get mad at the fence. We need strong fences. I don't want a snake loose in this house. Hallelujah. If a snake somehow gets in the house, you hear me, there has to be an Apostle Paul who knows what it is to not let the bite be fatal and to shake it off in the fire. This has to be a house, you hear me, of holy fire. There's got to be a roar of holy fire in this house. That it's almost in the spiritual I'm talking about right now. It's the flickering of his presence. is the power of His Spirit. You can call me old school. I call it Bible school. But strong fences is what brings that. Some of you think I'm talking about legalism, and I ain't talking about legalism. I'm telling you, strong, godly, biblical fences bring a concentrated presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to say something weird right here. I feel to say it. Everyone all right? I know kids. Some kids got tests tomorrow, and I already know that. I'm going to show you something. Years ago, and this is going to sound weird, and some of you who are old school Pentecostals, you're going to get what I'm going to say. But if you knew, you're going to think they've lost their mind. But the John Wright, days out of, he's been preaching probably 50 years, never has pastored church, just a great lay minister in the house of God. And I'm talking about, there's nobody else I want to go to battle with than John Wright. Amen. I could ask him to preach. And I say, Brother John, I need you to preach on this topic tonight because we're trying to do this series. He get in the pulpit and say, I studied, and that ain't what God said. And he just preach what he want to preach. But the Holy Ghost would fall. I mean, I can't get off my notes, but I just can't preach on that. And I let him go. He's in his 70s, do what he wants to do. But never forget, he sat under the A.D. Spears years ago when he pastored in Coots, Texas, outside of Day's Head, about an hour. And this is going to sound weird, but I'm going to show you how God honors people. But John Wright said, Brother Davis, he said, my pastor, I mean, they preaching is everything but breathing. Hello? We can barely breathe, and if we breathe the wrong way, we got griped out for breathing the wrong way, right? He said, I walked in one night, and listen, I'm not against this. I don't care if you got sideburns. I care less. He said, I had sideburns about down to here. He said, my pastor said, now, son, he said, I don't like that. That ain't right. Now, he could have got up through a fit and said, bless God, I'm going to do what I want to do. But I'll never forget, he did this, and that's been 50 years ago. I was in a missionary service with the Dominguez. He was in that service. He was preaching that night. He was used mildly in the gifts of the Spirit. He walked down the aisle. He turned to John Wright and said, God has not forgotten the convictions and the commitments that you made to Him. God remembers the fences that you build. Now that sounds weird. It's not a heaven-hell issue. It ain't nothing to do with heaven or hell. It's a personal thing to Him now. But he made a commitment to God. I'll do this all the days of my life. And God, what I'm trying to tell you is this, is when you start building fences, God honors that. And there's going to be some fences that you covered up like Fort Knox and can't nobody get in. Why? Because God knows what it takes to get you out of here. So God says, I need you to pray more, have more convictions, do everything. Why? God's trying to build a fence. Yep. Yeah. And my job, and I'm done, my job as a pastor of this church is to build the fence as high, as thick, as long, as wide as I can build that thing in this house, not to be a ruler, not to be a dictator, but to pray to God to be a man who follows the book, who follows the Spirit. And if we follow that, we'll have a concentrated move of the Holy Ghost in this house. Let's all pray. God, we love you tonight. God, help us. I thank you for everyone in this house who has convictions, God. Thank you for those who have personal convictions nobody knows about, Lord. You see that, God. You remember that. You are serious about, God, people building fences. Help me, God, to be a fence builder in my life. Help me, God, to be a fence builder in my home. Help me, God, to be a fence builder in my own life, Jesus, I pray. Help me like Paul, God, for fear of having preached to others, I've become a castaway. Help me, God, to build fences on a daily basis, Lord. Bless this church. Keep this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands to Him one more time. We love you, God. Worship. Man, God bless you in Jesus' name. We love you so much. Please don't forget, Sunday is one service on Sunday. Following that service, we have to go to McKinney for a wedding. We're marrying Josh and Marlene. They're not here tonight, but we're super excited for them. But just one service on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Amen? God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.